Good morning, everybody. Good morning to our church that is watching online. We realize that that's still a big group of you. And so we wish that you were here, but we also understand and look forward to the time where we are able to all gather back together and things start to feel and look a little bit more normal. But to those of you who are here, even though some of you are hundreds and thousands of miles away, I still see you back there. You found some shade, and I'm appreciative of that. It was a little cooler at the first service, but it is starting to warm up and feel a little sauna-esque. So thank you guys so much for being here, though. My name is Stuart. I'm one of the pastors here at Curry Creek, and honored to be able to bring the message to you this morning. I'm going to share something with you that may not be that big of a deal to you, but it was a really big deal to me. We were sound checking this morning, and Eric puts on his microphone, and he starts reading a passage of scripture. And for those of you who remember what he read at the start of the message, that's what he was reading in the sound check, which is Psalm chapter 8, which is a great psalm and very encouraging, especially for the time that we are in right now. But I have been, for several weeks now, I've known that I was preaching today, and I have been working, preparing a sermon based out of Psalm chapter 8. And Eric had no idea that that was the psalm that I was preaching from today. He didn't even know I was preaching from Psalms. So y'all are supposed to hear from Psalm chapter 8 today. Which is pretty cool, right? Because it just was this amazing kind of cool confirmation. Maybe more for me than for y'all, but it's pretty amazing. Of all of the passages that Eric could have read from, of all of the passages that I could have prepared to preach from, it was Psalm chapter 8. What? Okay, thank you. Some of you. That's exciting. It really is how the Lord can work things out like that. I'm going to put my phone here because I want to know what time it is and know how long I go. So these last few months have been strange, to say the least, and I'm thankful that the Lord has been faithful through it all. I know that he would be, but there's probably some things that you have learned about yourself, that you have learned about life, that you have learned about your family, that you may not have been able to know a few months ago. For some of you, the thought of homeschooling, you're like, we would never do that. But you've done it. You've done it for the last several months, and you've done a fantastic job. And I say you've done a fantastic job. I'm assuming you've done a fantastic job. But you've done it. For some of you, the thought of not having sports, not playing sports, not watching sports, you're like, I couldn't survive without sports, but you have. Some of you, it's been like the mall, right? You're like, I could never go months without going to the mall, but you've done it. You've gone months without going to the mall. And I know that those are kind of silly, trivial things, but my point in saying all of that is there are some things that we hopefully have learned during this time, that we've learned about ourselves, that we've learned about the Lord, that the Lord has taught us. What I'm going to share with you this morning is something that the Lord has been teaching me, more or less reminding me of. They are truths that I have known about God and about myself, but during the last several months have been something that has been important for me to be reminded of. And so I hope that this morning is a time of encouragement. I hope that it's a time of remembrance and just a reminder of who we are and what our purpose on this earth is. I also know that this time in our nation is extremely difficult. And I know that the Lord has something to say to us from his word in regards to that today as well. Like I said, I've been preparing this message for a while, and I feel like this message is more relevant today than it would have been even a week ago. And so my hope and my prayer, I'm going to pray in just a second after I read Psalm chapter 8 again, is that we might be open and listening for what it is that the Lord wants to remind us of. So if you have your Bibles, Psalm chapter 8, which is where Eric just read, I'm going to read it one more time, and then I will pray for us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Father, we thank you for your majesty, for your glory, for your dominion, for your power, for your strength, for your sovereignty. Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of pain, in the midst of injustice, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of death, in the midst of viruses, God, you are still God. You are still King. Your name is to be praised, for you are majestic and holy and beautiful and perfect. Lord, we live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is sinful, but you are not sinful and you are not fallen. You are beautiful and majestic and perfect. And we worship you now and we praise your name now as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't know what you think of when you think of Psalm chapter 8 or as you read through Psalm chapter 8, but for me, Sandy Patty comes to mind. I don't know how many of you are big fans of Sandy Patty or were at one time, but I remember sitting in my 1985 Suburban and my parents plugging in the old Sandy Patty cassette tape, and we would listen to this song that she wrote based on Psalm chapter 8, and some of you know it. It's playing in your head right now, and you know it, and it's awesome. If you don't know it, you can probably find it somewhere. Go listen to it. It's good. It'll stick in your head. But the psalmist, David, when he starts out with this psalm in chapter 8, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He is proclaiming and reminding himself and reminding all of us of the majesty of our Creator God. He is majestic. He is excellent. He is worthy of all praise. I had the opportunity to preach last year, and I preached about the attributes of God, and I walked through a lot of different attributes. And as I was reading that, I was just reminded of that message, and I was reminded of the truths of who God is and that God is wholly different from you and I. And we try and kind of put him so our small little minds can wrap around who God is. But God is unique. God, we can never say God is like this or God is like that because God is incomparable. He's incomparable. And he has set his glory above the heavens. He has established strength. He stills his enemies and the avengers. And I think for me, that's one of the things that makes his love and his care for me so amazing is when I think about who he is and the attributes that describe him. David then turns to more of a personal tone, and he says, when I, talking about him, David, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, this is his response. What is man? Who am I? What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? I had the opportunity, this was several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Colorado, and I, one night, I went and laid in this bright, green, beautiful, cold, luscious grass, and I just laid on my back, and I looked up at this gigantic sky that was in front of me, and I remember just seeing stars on top of stars. I had no idea that there were that many stars. It was beautiful, and it was breathtaking, and it was a moment that I will remember the rest of my life because in that moment, I just thought about how big God is, and that's not something that I think about every day as I'm just living my life and going through life, but as I was laying there on my back looking up at this big, beautiful Colorado sky, I thought about how big God is and how small and insignificant I am in the universe. I'm a speck, a tiny grain of sand in the universe. And you are too. And before you get offended and say, well, you're saying I'm not significant? I'm not saying that at all. You are significant and you matter to God and you matter to your friends and you matter to your family. You matter. But in the scope of the universe, you are tiny. And yet God says something amazing about us. David reminds us of the truth of who we are. There's nothing much more humbling than looking up to the sky and seeing how big, being reminded of how big God is and how small we are. That moves us to verse 5, which continues to be, just continues to get better. David's talking and he says, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you would care for him? And then he starts describing mankind, human beings, you and I. Yet you have made him, talking about us, mankind, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. And you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And then he goes on to describe that even more. The psalmist looks to heaven, specifically to the moon and stars, and he is blown away that God would condescend to mankind. Who am I, he says, that you would think about me, that you would care for me, that you would be mindful of me? I had the opportunity several summers, or actually last summer, to speak at our summer camp to our middle school students, and I talked about the Imago Dei. Cree kids, are you guys in the house? Are y'all listening? Cree kids, I want you to repeat after me, Cree kids, okay? If you are through fifth grade, repeat after me, Imago Dei. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I couldn't hear you. Did you guys at home say that? Cree kids watching at home? Let me hear you one more time. As loud as you can, Imago Dei. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yes, there we go. Much better. So Imago Dei is a Latin phrase, a Latin term, which means image of God. And we, as human beings, you as Creek kids, students, adults, all mankind is created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. Now, there's some debate about what exactly Imago Dei means. But I think it means that we are created with certain qualities, certain characteristics to be able to worship, to be able to serve, to be able to honor our Creator God. It's not so much about what we look like or what our personalities might be, or even how we act. But there is something about mankind that we have the ability to worship, to serve, to be image bearers of our Creator. John 4:24 says that God is spirit. So it's not that we look like God. It's not like we have the same appearance as God. We talked about God's attributes, and the last I checked, we're not immortal. We're not omnipotent. We're not omniscient. So it's not necessarily that we have the same characteristics of God. And where this comes from is in the story of creation, which you guys know. I'll read it to you really quick. You don't have to turn there. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock. This sounds very familiar to what David wrote. And over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. God created man, human beings, mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Mankind was created, and the creation of man was different. It was God said and it happened, God said and it happened, God said and it happened. But when it came to man, there was a break in the created order, and there seems to almost be a conversation amongst the Godhead. Let us. And we're back. Yes. Thank you, Matt. It is not Matt's fault, because I'm not kidding. Right in between services, I watched him with my own two eyes, and he changed the battery. So this was a brand new battery. So we need to change brands, apparently. Let me see. Please help me. No, I figured it out. Human beings are distinct. They are different from everything that has been created. There is something intrinsically valuable, the crown jewel of creation. Oh, I remember where I was now. There was a conversation amongst the Godhead. Let us make man in our image. There wasn't that conversation about the animals. There wasn't that conversation about the sun and the moon. There wasn't the conversation about the plants. But when it came to mankind, let us make man in our image. There's something different about being human. There's an elevation of every human being in dignity and in value. Every human being. They are created in the image of God. Everyone. We have a tendency at times to think that it's just people like us, or just Christians, just people who hold the same views, who believe the same way. Every human being is created in the image of God, and has dignity and has value, and are the crown jewel of creation. A theologian, Millard Erickson, who wrote a systematic theology book that's fantastic, says, we should not be disdainful of any human being. They are all something beautiful. Even though they are distortions of what God originally intended humankind to be, just as we are, the potential of likeness to the Creator is there. We are set apart from the rest of creation, church. No other created thing has been given that and that purpose. Our family has a dog. We have three dogs, but we have one dog named Jax, who is, he's old and he's not doing well. We just took him to the vet this week and we got him some pain meds, and they're saying we don't know how much longer Jax has. He's in a lot of pain. He's got arthritis really bad in his hips, and it's moving up to his front joints, and it's just really sad. It's hard for him to get around. Jax and I are friends. He's a really good dog. We've had him for over 10 years, and he and I are a lot alike in many ways. He has a certain routine. I have a certain routine. He likes to sleep. I like to sleep. He's a little overweight. I'm a little overweight. He's kind of balding a little bit in the back. I'm kind of balding a little bit in the front. He really loves a big, juicy steak. I love a big, juicy steak. So we're a lot alike in many ways. But there's a big difference between Jax and I. He's a dog. He's an animal. And I am not. I don't know how many of you, Creek kids, raise your hand if you have a dog or a cat. I'm not a big cat fan, but that's okay. That's just me. Any other crazy animal pets, hamsters or birds or something like that? Yeah. It's hard because they become like a member of the family oftentimes, and you love them. And it's hard when you have to put them down. And I've had to put several dogs down in my life, and it's not easy. It's not enjoyable. It's hard. And it's sad. But what if a vet came to me and said, you know what, Stuart, you don't have to put Jax down. There's a surgery that he can have, and we can fix him all up, and he'll have longer to live. But that surgery is going to be anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000. As much as I love Jax, and I do, I love him. He's a great dog. I don't think we would do that surgery. I don't think we would spend that money to give Jax a little bit longer to live. But what if it was one of my daughters or my son, and the doctor said, you know, I know that your daughter is really sick, and we can do this surgery and really pretty much fix the problem, but the surgery is going to cost $30,000 to $40,000. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't sit there and be like, I wonder what we should do. I wonder where we're going to get the money. Maybe we should think about it for a little while. I'd be like, absolutely, we're going to do it. In a heartbeat, I don't even need to think about it. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, this is just a horrible story. Stuart hates dogs. That's what he's telling us. He hates his dog, Jax. That's not what I'm, and I think that you see the point. There is a difference between Jax the dog and Molly, my daughter. There's a big difference. One of them was created in the image of God and is my daughter. There is a difference between human beings and everything else that has been created. I've got a couple of application points, and they're not really even application points. They're more just reminders to us. As we have just read through this passage of Psalm chapter 8, as we've looked back at Genesis chapter 1, there's just some reminders about life that the Lord has been reminding me of the last few weeks and months. And I think that it's important for all of us to be reminded of. The first one is this. Remember that life is valuable. Remember that life is valuable. And I know that we know that life is valuable, but in our world, the last 3 or 4 months, I've been surprised to see the lengths that we have gone through as a country and as a planet to save lives of human beings. Now, this isn't a political statement, but I've been very surprised by it. And in a lot of ways, very thankful for it. The life of a human being, and I wish that the steps and the lengths that we have taken, which have been unprecedented and extreme, I wish we would take steps like that and see the life of an unborn child the same way. That we would take those same steps and those same extremes and those same lengths to save the life of children, the helpless children that are not yet born. The loss of human life is tragic and it's gut-wrenching, and for many of us, it can be confusing, it can be angering, it can make us question God and who is he, and if he's really there, why did he allow this to happen, or why didn't he stop this? Many of us have experienced loss. Some of us have experienced loss recently. And it's not supposed to be easy. Death is an enemy. It's a judgment for our sin. It is a curse. My seminary professor says death is not a blessing. It is a calamity. It collaborates with other tyrants, sin, and the devil to bring us misery. And church, as you know, we have had over 100,000 people die from this virus in our country over the last several months, and over 360,000 across our world. People have been experiencing death and mourning the loss of people that they love and care about. And even this week, the pain and the hurt that we see from a life that is lost. Romans 12 tells us as Christians to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. The thing that I was struck by as I was reading that again this week is that that's not a call for us towards the people just that we know, our friends, our family, but that is a call, a mark of a Christian, to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn. And our world is mourning. May we mourn with them. Life is valuable. May we be reminded of that today. And the last point, and I'm going to have the Creek Kids help me out with this one as well, and actually all of you can. But Creek Kids, I want you to try and find your pulse. Okay? The easiest spot for me is right here on my neck. I can really feel my pulse really good. Parents, you can help them if you want to. And even adults, students, you can try and find your pulse, or if you feel weird doing that for whatever reason, that's fine. Just focus on your breathing for a second. Take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Life, Creek Kids, students, adults, life is precious. Life is precious. With each breath that we take, with each beat of our hearts, it is a gift. It is a gift from God. Sorry about the noise. God not only created us, but he has sustained us and is sustaining us right now in this moment. We are not controlling our heartbeat or the oxygen in our lungs. It is a gift from God. He has made us a little lower than the heavenly beings, and he has crowned us with glory and honor and given us dominion over the works of his hands. What an amazing gift that he has given to us. This life that we have been given to live for him, to bring honor and glory to his name, to worship him, to praise him. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to close with a song called Great Are You, Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second, and I'm going to ask you to sing it with us. It's a fairly familiar song, so a lot of you will probably know it, but I'm going to read the lyrics, not only just to help remind you of the song, but I want you to just think about the words that we are about to be singing to our God, to our Creator, to our Sustainer, who is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. We're about to sing to our God. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. There is restoration, and there is hope, and there is brokenness that needs to be restored today. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise exclusively to him, to you only. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning we pause in the midst of our day, and we recognize the fact that our life has value, our life has purpose. As human beings, there is a dignity and there is a sacredness to what it is that you've created and how you have created mankind. Every single one of us is created in the image of God. Lord, I pray that we would see everyone in that light. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded today of the fact that our life matters, that we would be reminded of the fact that we have purpose, and that is to bring glory and honor to you. This is a precious gift that you have given to us. And with every beat that our heart makes and with every breath that our lung takes, God, that is another moment to live for you. I pray, Lord, that we are encouraged by that truth and that reality today, and that we might live differently because of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.